B-Pod Studios.
Here are Zolak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
When did you go see Debbie Gibson?
In June. I just was sending Tom some pictures.
You have two kids, lovely kids.
Yes.
I know them.
Yes.
Your wife's lovely. You travel a lot.
Yeah.
And you said, hey, honey, I'm going to take 4 hours of this night, and I'm going to go to the mall and see Debbie Gibson.
Yeah, the first thing I did was, do you want to come with me? And she said, no.
Of course not.
And so.
You know that answer already, get it?
Yes.
See?
Yes.
So that's pretty creative by you. Because you already know the answer. She ain't going to want to go. But I'm going to still ask the question, I invited you.
Just something fun. Like, I need a show right now. Like, I don't know how you guys feel. Like, we're 4 weeks into the season. Like, I need a little energy boost. And so, like, I'm looking for any shows around.
I got one coming up.
What do you have?
I had a little show coming up.
On yeah, you're gonna keep it on
I'll
the download.
Yeah.
All right.
What, your own show or a show that you're going to?
Going to a show.
A private show.
Private show.
Yes. It's whatever the Kraft annual friends and family show is on the field of Gillette. That's not a secret anymore. That thing happens every year.
Bond,
Elton
something.
John or the Rolling Stones, Paul McCartney 1 year. Who is it this year? I just spill the beans.
Debbie Gibson.
Backstreet Boys.
Not sure. I know who it is. I can't publicly say that.
It's not John Bon Jovi, is it?
No, God, no.
I'm going to say an easy get.
No. It's a pretty good one. Pretty good one.
Bacon Brothers.
Do you have anything, Beetle? You got anything? Nothing.
Isley Brothers. Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Not for a few months. I don't have any tickets in hand at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe Tedeschi Trucks and Orpheum.
I hear good things.
Oh, they're awesome. Yeah.
I guess the Killers were in last night.
Yeah, last night or a couple nights. It was recently.
Played the Garden. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Where were we? Jamie Collins. Your thoughts on the signing and what it says about the roster.
Well, the first thought I had was everything we talked about back in April and May when we were talking about the draft and where the team might go, linebacker, and then the surprise in the draft when they don't draft a linebacker, Beetle, and they go into the season. And I remember hearing some of the coaches say, we have some young guys that we feel good about, you know, that people don't know about yet. And when you bring Jamie back, it tells me that these young guys that we didn't know about at the time haven't emerged, developed the way maybe they hoped for. Thinking of players like Cameron McGrone on the practice squad, the fifth round pick from last year, Mack Wilson, who they acquired in a trade from the Browns for Chase Winovich, Raekwon McMillan, who they brought back after he missed last year with a torn ACL, who Bill Belichick has spoken highly of, Jelani Tavai.
See, the fact Tavai's getting a lot tells you that they need some help there. Now, that's not a shot at Tavai. I thought Tavai actually had made some plays.
He was okay. Yeah.
But I think he's undersized. Like, I think they were really expecting, like, Uche to make that big jump. And it just, for whatever reason.
He's like a situational pass rusher now.
That's what Winovich was, though. See, that was the problem.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, Uche, you hope he's that as a rookie. You start him playing that position. Then you say, maybe we'll move him to more of a pure defensive end role in his second year, and then they just keep him there. And so to me, that's what that, Beetle, when you bring back Jamie Collins, it's an acknowledgement that what they have isn't producing the way they hoped that it would. And he's a guy that knows the system. Obviously, they know him. He can play on the line. He can play off the line. And what have they given up? It was 199 rushing yards to the Packers, and in the second half, the week before against the Ravens, it was like 126 rushing yards. So in the last six quarters, you've given up almost 330 yards on the ground. Like, you want to say not having Lawrence Guy as part of that? Sure, I'll buy that, but not 330 yards worth. That's a lot more than just Lawrence Guy.
Let's get to some of your calls with Mike Reese, 617-779-0985. Dave in Mississippi. Hi, Dave.
What's going on, fellas? What do you think of could happen if Zappe comes out, you know, lights out, looks really good? You think the Patriots would trade Mac Jones away next year? Or would they keep him or trade Zappe away? I mean, it has happened before. Got rid of the first round big quarterback for the backup with Tom Brady. And on the Jamie Collins thing, I think the reason's coming in because, you know, he was a quarterback in high school. Maybe that's their backup quarterback right there.
Tell you what, Dave, if Bailey Zappe does win the Super Bowl, yeah, I think they might consider moving on from Mac. But that's the type of thing it would take for them to even consider.
It would have to be such an amazing, like, leap from even what we saw in the game against Green Bay. And it would there would have to be an ascension. He almost couldn't have like a drop-off week for the rest of the season for them to move on from Mac Jones.
I'd say trade him away
while he's still on his rookie
deal. What are we doing?
I know.
I mean, yeah.
But let's do something more in the short term. That is, Bailey Zappe gets a couple of starts going forward here, Mike, and he lights it up and looks great doing it and protects the football. It doesn't turn it over. Does that then delay Mac's return more than what it otherwise would have been?
It would buy you more margin for error, for sure. You could play it safer with Mac. Because right now, guys, I look at it, 1-3. You're in last place in the AFC East outright for the first time since 2014, which was just after the first week of the season. And before that, the last time you were in last place in the AFC East was in 2000, outright, Bill Belichick's first year as coach. So you need to win. You need to win a game right now, any way you can. And so if Bailey Zappe can do that, it would buy him more time, which to me would be ideal. It seems quick to me to have Mac come back at this point.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what it looks like this week, assuming that Mac tries to give it a go.
So, Mike, we have this caller, Brandon in Boston, and many times his solution to whatever problem a team has is to provide you with a name to go out and get.
I like that. This does work.
This is the type of week that is made for him where the Patriots may need to add a backup quarterback, add another quarterback to the roster. We've thrown some names out there this week, but now Brandon would like to throw a name in there. So, Brandon, who do you have for us this week?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my phone call. So I think this guy doesn't get enough credit, but he has a good resume on him, and that would be Blake Bortles. We're talking about a guy that's 6'5", can see the field, reads all his options. He's a good precision maker when it comes to getting the ball out of his hands. He almost beat the Patriots in the AFC Championship if his defense held up. But, I mean, you know, a guy like Blake Bortles, I think he can run the offense and do wonders for this team. I mean, the guy's mobile as well, so if he needs to be physical and gain some yards, he'll do that. You know, I don't think Blake Bortles gets enough credit, but he's actually good. He would have made the Super Bowl, like I said, if his defense stood up. So a guy like that, you get bring him in, I think you could do wonders.
Well, he's played for five teams and he's out of the league at the moment. After
Belichick liked him coming out,
asking for his release when Andy Dalton went to the Saints. So he's currently at home and he is available. And as Zoe just said, Bill liked him coming out.
Bill liked
draft,
him coming
right?
out because I think he left Jupiter to go see him at UCF.
Yeah,
wow. Bill drove there to go meet with him and look at him.
Well,
he's played well against you.
We may have our answer.
Breaking news!
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
As indicated by Mike Reese earlier, and now Tom Pelissero says the Patriots are expected to sign quarterback Garrett Gilbert.
Hi, Reese.
To the practice squad. With Mac Jones, high ankle sprain, and Brian Hoyer, concussion, both dealing with injuries, the only healthy quarterback on the roster is rookie Bailey Zappe. So the Patriots, again, credit to Mike Reese for bringing this up early. You know what? Reese called it Garrett Gilbert.
But honestly, thanks for the credit, Hardy, but I would say all the reporters covering the team had this name sort of tossed out there just because he was with them all last year in the practice.
You're
squad,
the
right?
only
so
one, Reese.
Connect the dots. Connect the dots. But look, it's not ideal. I think the benefit, like we talked about, is you don't have to take up a roster spot. You can put them on the practice squad because they have these new rules where you can. You used to be on the practice squad, you had to be like only like a rookie, first year or second year player. Now it doesn't matter your level of experience. They know Garrett Gilbert. He's taken snaps in the league. You know, worst case scenario,
he can throw.
So you get to Friday and let's say Hoyer can't go and Mac Kett, like neither one of them can dress and be on the sidelines. There's no way they can go. Can he go from, do you have to elevate him at that point to get him off the practice squad just for the game, and then you just play a little shuffle back and forth?
Exactly. So by Saturday at 4 o'clock, you have to make a decision for that week's game. And so I would assume, and they'll probably would elevate him anyway, Hardy. Like even if Mac, let's say they get to Saturday at 4 and they're like, oh, looks okay. Like Mac might be able to go. You got to be ready to, like during the game, Mac might, the thing might just, I don't want to say blow out on him, but it might just decide like, thought I could do this, but in live action, it's not responding the way I thought it would or the way it did in practice. You got to go in with three quarterbacks.
Yes.
So that they would elevate Gilbert in that, you know, in that scenario. And if you go do some searching on it, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, last year Washington got in a similar situation and they signed him off the Patriots practice squad.
He got a duel with Brady.
He ended up playing and actually played pretty well in the game. So not ideal, not what you would want, but probably the best case scenario given the situation the Patriots find themselves.
Okay, so that is now the latest from Foxborough, and that is Garrett Gilbert is back with the Pats on a practice squad deal for the time being. We've got Mike Reese in studio. One more segment with him. It's coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Opinionated.
I do like crushed haddock.
And passionate.
I took a piece of haddock one time and I ran over it with a tire.
More headlines in 30
minutes. It's like a haddock pancake.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
In my dreams.
I got to be careful what I share on this show. Every time I'm telling secrets.
Oh my God.
I remember.
All right, I gotta stop.
Mike Reese is with us. In case you couldn't
underrated.
Tell.
Underrated, right?
Underrated. Hey, Mike, did you know that Tuesday, October 4th, today, is National Taco Day? And beloved Mexican restaurant, Anna's Taqueria, is using the occasion to add a dish to their classic menu. Birria tacos. Slow-cooked beef tacos featuring melted cheese, cilantro, red onion, on a crispy corn tortilla dipped in birria sauce, served with fresh lime and extra birria dipping sauce on the side. Zoe, do you have it?
You know what makes a difference? The fresh lime, you squeeze it, and just a little squirt here and there.
These birria tacos will only be on the menu at Anna's location today. That's it. Today's the only day you can do it.
I thought that sauce would be really spicy.
Oh, even better news. I was wrong. Today through next Tuesday, they're going to have them for a week.
Okay.
My mistake. I apologize.
My suggestion would be to put that on the menu permanently.
Well, let's see how well they do.
It's not spicy. I thought that sauce you dip it in was going to be spicy. Not spicy.
Everything, I'll tell you what.
Everything about it was delicious.
If you go to Anna's Taqueria, visit them at annastaqueria.com, and you go get those tacos this week, and they're a big hot seller. Maybe they keep them around.
I had tacos last night.
Right. Are you soft shell or hard shell on the taco?
I actually like lettuce wraps. Lettuce wrap tacos. Believe it or not.
No, you don't.
That was an either or question.
We did it last night. I swear to God I did.
That was an A or B and you answered with C.
That's not
I would go
lettuce?
Stop, Reese.
Now, Reese is upset. You've upset Reese.
Have you ever gone to what's Mark Davis's favorite restaurant?
P.F. Chang's.
P.F. Chang's. The lettuce wraps there. Fantastic.
So wait, that's talking about two different things.
It's kind of a taco, but it's like if you're kind of trying to eat keto in that. But I would go soft shell over hard shell. I'm 10 out of 10.
Okay.
I prefer the soft shell, but I like both. I mean, they're both great.
Flour, soft shell, corn, hard shell.
Yeah.
I don't like the corn soft shell.
Oh, yeah. I don't like the corn soft shell.
I agree. Like almost like a little, like, it feels like stale almost, right?
It kind of falls apart. It's not that. It's not
I agree
great.
With that statement.
But whatever they made today with that. Oh,
hard, that was that hard shell.
But that was like...
And I like lettuce wraps, too.
Taco Tuesday, everyone. Your calls again with Mike Reese with Frank in Boston. Hello, Frank.
Yeah, hi. I think we got a little proof point on Sunday that there's been a lot of excuse making for Mac. I didn't see Zappe or Hoyer throw any floated 20-80 balls, nor did I see them try to force the ball into Devontae Parker. The patchway has always been you throw the ball to the open guy. The ball I saw go to Devontae Parker was when he was wide open. Mike Lombardi's comments, as untoward as they were, you know that's coming straight from Bill Belichick, and Belichick knows where the ball is supposed to go. And clearly, Belichick doesn't want the ball forced in, and Belichick believes Mac wasn't supposed to be doing what he was doing. So I think there's been a lot of excuse-making. I also think we learned a lesson, which is if you protect the football, you can hang around the net and give your chance to win a football game against anyone. That's basically my two cents. There's been a lot of excuse making, and a lot of those mistakes were on Mac. They weren't on the play calling. They weren't on the coaching. Mac was just making mistakes.
All right, let's just boil this down to one thing for you, Mike, and that is there motivation or excitement on the part of the coaching staff working with yet another young quarterback in Bailey Zappe?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And I just build off the point here. Excuse making for Mac, maybe that's the case. I think everyone has said he's got to stop turning the ball over, right? Like, that's just fact. And when I went back to watch the game over, sometimes I like to try to watch, like, the full broadcast, like, especially when, like, Tony Romo was doing it, just to hear his insight. And before before the first snap, well, so I would love to listen to, but it's during the game.
I know, buddy.
Before the first snap, yeah. Tony Romo, when I wrote this down, he said, "I was impressed turning the tape on. This offense is better than you think. They just turned it over way too much early in the year." And I think that's totally fair. And I feel like with Mac, we said the things that he did great as a rookie, accuracy and decision making, those have been shaky.
Yeah,
I think that's fair. Is that fair?
Look at it.
Yeah,
from
Mike.
Up top.
I mean, they didn't throw a pick on Sunday. Yeah. Mac threw a bunch of picks in the other three games.
Now, Romo has the ability to get stuff fed to him by the network. So here's your prep this week. He gets 22. He watches it from a pod. I mean, everybody can do that, but I think it's set up for him to do that, to watch that. Bedard comes in and talks about it. A lot of people that watch them closely and intently say, this isn't as bad as everybody thinks it is. They're close on things. It's one guy here, one guy there. And, like, I watch that second and five play. I go back to it. It's there if Cannon holds his block on the right side, because that's one time. Isaiah Wynn came off, hit two guys, actually pancaked the linebacker on a second block. The cutback was there. It was just Marcus missed his block. He gets that.
They actually that the overtime? The overtime?
Yeah. Yeah. Second and five at the 49. They had it. It was there.
And I thought that was a good play by Preston Smith, the Packers linebacker.
Yep.
He sort of just got in there between
disrupted it.
Cole Strange and Trent Brown. The last thing, just on the point, because I think it's important, like what they were running with Bailey Zappe, yeah, there were no turnovers from Zappe. Well, he threw the ball 15 times, and a couple of those were quick screens. Like, they weren't running anywhere close to the volume of offense that they would with Mac. So obviously Mac's margin for error is going to be greater when he's in the game. But still, that's not to dismiss the point, which I think is fair.
Let's go to Polly in the truck, who is with us now. Hi, Polly.
Well, see, Wynn has been miscast since the day he arrived here. He should have been he's a left guard. He's definitely not a right tackle. Last time they did this to him, they blew out his Achilles. And I'll end that there, but I want to talk about the quarterbacks. On that first drive, when we got to the 20, I said to myself right then, watched the TV, I'm like, okay, that this drive's just about over with the 20-yard line with between the 20s Hoyer. This kid Zappe knows where the end zone is, whereas Hoyer does not. He extends plays better with his ability to scramble. We're still rebuilding right now, and Mac's injured. So why not work him while you can? Hoyer's on his way out. This kid is the future, and our new backup. I'm not saying he's better than Mac. Mac's still a star quarterback, believe me. I have no interest in putting this kid in Mac's place at all. But I do have major interest in making him the backup. Now that we get the time to work him, you get him in there, you give him the work, and you make him your new backup. You could even turn him, but maybe if you work him well enough, he works out well enough, you might be able to turn him for some good draft capital, maybe for a second, not third, or maybe even a second, if he turns out that good this year. Somebody might bite. on a high pick.
I don't know about that. That seems like a lot to achieve.
Wishful thinking.
Whatever amount of time it is. I mean, I know that they traded away Jimmy Garoppolo. I know that they traded away Jacoby Brissett.
You had 4 years of development on Garoppolo, and he showed you can play in a real game on a Monday night out in Arizona.
But if the kid really impresses, why do you want to trade him? You want to keep him.
Keep him around.
Even if he is your backup.
This is the track that Stidham was supposed to be on. You know?
I would keep Bolt and have it be a situation where, okay, maybe don't call it a controversy or...
We're getting way ahead of ourselves here.
It's a guy who's pushing another guy, right?
Yeah, and it's good business. I actually, the Patriots director of scouting, Elliot Wolf, his father, Ron Wolf, when he was general manager of the Packers, sort of made it a habit every year to draft a quarterback behind Matt Hasselbeck, Mark Brunell, Matt Flynn, and they developed them behind Favre, Rodgers, whoever it was, and then they did trade him off for assets because ultimately their contract's going to expire after 3-4 years. That's just good business. There's a line of thinking, and Ron Wolf was sort of the person who a lot of people credit with doing it. Was it's never bad to develop a quarterback. It's the most important position on the field. It's either an asset to your team or you turn it into good draft capital.
Mike, the hour always goes by far too fast.
What? Wow.
Great. It's great. You want me to stick around?
Do you know who the... Do you know who the referee is?
No, I'm not saying no to that.
We'll know tonight on the referee. Right. I hope it won't. That crew, that was tough.
I want Bill Vinovich because he's his crew's not calling any flags.
No flags. Yeah. We won't get him though because it was two weeks ago they had him, right?
So. I don't think we're going to see that crew work in the Super Bowl this year in Arizona. Right. Let's put it that way. Are you sticking around?
Yeah, I'll stick around a little
bit. Oh, bonus segment.
Yeah. I love that.
He's too kind. Mike Reese, too kind. We'll get back to it with him and your calls after these headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Your question, does that attract the female or the male?
Bertrand.
That seems unlikely just based on you don't think a turkey can go that fast.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bonus segment with Mike Reese. I've got to go off the Patriots path for a moment. New York Post and Page Six. That is all under the same umbrella, right? Because some things go to Page Six and some things go to... Is Page Six its own deal now? Like its own website?
That's what I was looking at earlier, too. Funny you should mention that. Yeah, I don't know if it's separate from the Post or what.
Gotta be honest, Pete, I'm not a Page Six.
Same company still. They just have a separate website that focuses on the gossip.
All right.
But there is now, we read your story from Page Six earlier today about Tom Brady and Giselle hiring divorce lawyers. Do you have any thoughts on that, Mike?
Feel bad for TB.
I mean, who wouldn't, right? Just as a human being. You don't want to see anyone have to deal with that. Yeah. Here's another one for you. That's a story of separation. This is a story of sticking together. Nia Long is sticking by her fiancé, Celtics coach Ime Udoka, after his reported affair, according to her ex, speaking to Page Six on the record. He actually spoke to Daily Mail. Masai Z. Dorsey, is he a celebrity? I'm not familiar with him.
I don't know.
Is he an actor or sports star or something? I'm not totally familiar with him. Yep, he's an actor. Yep, he's a famous guy too. He said, we talk as a family and it's all about unconditional love and that's what she's giving him.
Oh, God.
What?
I don't know, good for her.
Dorsey said, we're sticking by him 100%. Ime made a mistake. Every man needs another chance. Like the Bible says, the flesh is weak. He's not a bad guy. Hopefully he has learned from this. Temptation. Interesting. He is, when he says family, he has a child with
Nia.
Nia Long.
Yeah.
Yes. Her.
Which complicates it, right?
Yeah.
He's kind of makes you want to.
He's her oldest. He's 21, and Dorsey and Nia Long co-parent and are obviously frequently in touch. They've remained close, even though they are, have not been together in a long time. So this is as good as, you know, as close to the source as you're going to get, right?
Yeah.
He went on to say, all I could say is good things about Ime. He's a good man. All these years, I'm happy he is in my son's life.
That's really like the first ringing endorsement you've had from Ime's side on this whole thing. Like, Celtics are like, I think the players are like, yeah, we don't know much about it. I'd like to know more before I comment on it. You hear some of the stuff getting out there, you know, like by Barnes, and he's talking about, wow, this thing's deep and it's real bad. Like, he'll never coach again there. There's people that feel that way. Like it's so bad one way for against the Ime that this is the first, I think, good news that maybe is being reported on him, that she's staying with him, if you think that's good news. I know my situation at home. I would not be welcome back if I supposedly did what happened. No matter how good a man I am.
Yeah. There's a lot of bringing it back to a personal thing for Zoe. It's like, you know, at what point would you be able to go out and start dating? You know, whether you're talking about a separation or, you know, what happens if you're in Ime's position? I mean, you immediately internalize. I don't know if that's healthy or not. You.
All right, but take this story. Does this lend credibility to what thing the things that Matt Barnes is saying, or give some pause to people saying, well, was it as messy and as bad as maybe people are starting to assume it was without really knowing? I mean, no one knows. No one knows. The story completely went away for the last week.
You think it's bad or you think it's good? Like, you think it's less? I think maybe, it might be bad.
I think maybe like a Mac Jones ankle injury, it may have been overstated to begin with. Maybe it wasn't.
The severity of
whatever it was that was going on.
Well, as angry as Wick and upset as Brad were at that press conference, and you bring a neutral law firm in to investigate this for long term, and you sit down with many employees and talk to them, I don't know how much you get this thing wrong. I mean, I don't know how light it could be. I don't think it's good. And they might just have that type of different relationship where she was already in another. I get it. Yeah, it's sort of the league, and that's the way the league rolls.
Sure.
And former player. When we met, I don't know what their situations were. And it's not my point to comment on anybody's personal life, but I just know what happened to me. I know you make fun, but I get like, not doing that at work. Mm-mm.
Nope. Let's get to your calls. Lori in Providence has a question for Mike Reese. Go ahead.
I wanted to know what Mike thinks the top five teams in the NFL are, because I was listening to ESPN and they had the Packers in there. And I really don't think the Packers are that good, even though their record is 3-1. So I'll hang up and let you guys talk about that.
Thanks,
Larry. Like this. Reese's power five.
Reese, good. Reese having to defend his colleagues at ESPN. I like that.
I'm kidding.
Do you want to do a Reese's Power Five?
Let's do it. Let's do it. And help me out here as we go, because it's off.
Oh, no. This is Mike Reese's Power Five. I mean,
my first thought would be you put the Eagles at number one right now.
Really?
Undefeated, right?
Over Kansas City and Buffalo.
Playing pretty well. I mean, and then
that's why power rankings are fun. You don't have to go by the record. You can say, I think the Bills are better than the Eagles, and I'll put them ahead of them.
But that's the power ranking.
Who
do you think's better, Buffalo or Eagles?
I would probably take Buffalo, but I want to tell you, is it
Buffalo or Kansas City?
Probably take Kansas City, and I'll tell you why. Like, yeah, Buffalo, there's something. One, the injuries in the secondary, but they don't. I got to check on this, how they did the other day. They don't run the ball that well.
No.
Like, that's sort of interesting to me. I mean, obviously, Josh Allen can run it.
They didn't handle the weather well, like a wet ball and all that. Like, it seemed like Baltimore handled the issues with the weather better than Buffalo did in that game, which is weird for Buffalo.
So I'll go Eagles, and that's out of respect too for the record as the only undefeated team. That's fair. If you were to say who would win right now, if you put the Eagles against Kansas City, that's fair. I'd probably go Kansas City, but let me stick with it. I'll go Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, and then 4-5. Let's help me out here on 4-5.
How do you feel about the Rams?
Not good.
Not a believer.
Okay, not a believer in the Rams. How do you feel about Tampa Bay?
I don't like to bet against Tom, but that did not look good the other night against the Chiefs, right?
And couldn't run the ball.
And that's at home, so I don't think I would put them in my top five right now.
Man. Makes you think, doesn't it?
I'm thinking.
Cincinnati's not there.
Cincinnati's definitely not there.
How do you feel about Baltimore? Even though they're 2-2.
Dallas.
I sort of like Baltimore, and Dallas I'm impressed with. I do like Baltimore, although defensively, you know, that wasn't too impressive. Give me some names there, Beetle, of some teams in the power rankings there. Like, I might put Baltimore in my
top
five.
I can tell you what
there.
The
San Francisco with that defense.
I do like San Francisco. I think Debo. a little offensively challenged. Probably not top five for me.
These are consensus power rankings for ESPN. Number one is Kansas City.
Yep.
Number two is Buffalo.
Yep.
Number three is Philly, and I agree with those top three.
I do, too.
That's fair.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
I like all three of those, but then it gets weird. Green Bay is fourth, as Laurie pointed that out.
Yeah,
Miami is fifth.
No,
that's too high for them. But I mean, I think that's where we get influenced by the record.
Rams are sixth.
Yep.
The Vikings are seventh.
I think the Rams have some problems.
Tampa Bay is eighth. Baltimore is ninth. And I got to say, I think Baltimore's too low in this damn thing.
I'd put Baltimore in my top five. Give me them fourth.
I would agree with that, Mike. I think we've got a little consensus building here.
I like that. But who's that fifth? Beetle?
Who's that fifth best team in the league? Is it Tampa Bay?
Boy.
Is it?
Going to show you how different last year was from this year, where you have those powerful NFC teams where you could say, oh, there's five NFC teams before you get to an AFC team. It's kind of back and forth here.
Yeah, I'll take Tampa. I'll just go with assuming that they're going to figure it out.
If you're taking Green Bay in the top five, you got to put Tampa in there.
I would put Tampa in there.
The New England Patriots currently ranked 27th in the ESPN power rankings. Behind the Patriots are the Bears, Steelers, Commanders, Panthers, and Texans.
Woof.
Those are the teams behind the Patriots. Ahead of the Patriots, the Colts, the Lions, the Saints, Jets, Raiders, all of those teams ranked higher.
And I put Tampa fifth, but, I mean, the Packers went down and beat them. So, you know, you could make the case that the Packers could be on the five. But that's a pretty big – I think that's a pretty big drop-off there from the top three. And to your point, like, I got the Eagles at one right now based on the record out of respect. But,
yeah,
they get their first loss, and you're probably dropping them right down there.
Jeff in Nashua. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on? What an honor to have Reese on. National Taco Day. Tijuana Jefe is whipping up the steak tacos for dinner tonight, so don't worry about that, boys. Monday Night Football, the 49ers D, they get after it, and Talanoa Huafanga's his taint was smooth. And
wow.
He didn't even get the clock.
No. That was me that time.
I myself don't care what you're making for dinner unless I'm invited.
Also,
I had tacos last night.
Not going to deal with the wrath of anyone for letting someone say something inappropriate.
The boy soft tacos.
Well,
had to. Chris in Hartford. Hey, Chris.
All right, let's get down to business. Hey, Reese, I got a question for you. Ready?
Let's go.
I asked these three chuckleheads last week, and I told them that Hoyer would not make it through the game. He got thrown out in the second quarter with a concussion because he's not mobile.
First quarter.
I asked an ex-quarterback who played in the NFL who follows these games very closely, who's more mobile, Mac or Hoyer? And I chose Mac. Can I please have your answer? Thank you.
I'm with you, Mac. I got Mac more mobile than Hoyer. So you had Hoyer? More mobile than Zach? More mobile than Zach? Mac?
Did he ask me that last week?
I don't remember that. Maybe he did, but how can you tell? I think your answer may have been, how do I know? Who's seen Brian Hoyer play a whole lot?
I don't want either guy running. I would not want either of those guys running, but ask me which one has better evadability, like to slide in the pocket.
Mac.
I think that's Mac.
Totally Mac.
Hoyer's stiffer.
Right. But in terms of like getting outside and needing to pick up a first down on a third down play.
Hoyer might be the better athlete. Like outside the pocket, running.
Those are two different things. You're right. Yeah.
But I'd take Mac on the slide.
I think there's more pressure on Zappy this week than there was last week going into the game cold.
Yeah, it's real now.
Yeah. I do.
Now he's got all week to think about it.
You're not playing with house money.
Not only that, but you're going up against a team that What's the average score against the Lions? 35 points?
Yeah.
I mean, people have hung 45, 38, 28. So, yeah, everyone else can score on them. Can you? It's
John,
a lot of pressure for Zappi and Patricia, everybody involved in that offense.
I just want to quickly get to John in Kingston. Thanks for hanging on, John.
Hi. I got something bugged me earlier with the caller called in. And he said, Mac's throwing all these picks. He's unreliable. And none of you guys contradicted that. These 50-50 balls, you do understand that this is all about Matt Patricia's game plan. He's the one that brought in Devontae Parker. This is not a mystery. He wants him to throw up these.
We've covered that. Yeah,
balls.
They want them to push it this year. Yeah, they want to go more vertical.
So it's not Matt.
I'm talking about the ones you throw directly to the linebacker underneath that have been repetitive.
And sometimes there have been those plays where the linebacker hasn't been able to come up with the pick, and he's benefited from that.
Pittsburgh corner. That was a corner.
I would also say I don't blame Mac at all for those picks. I mean, we fought back against Mike Lombardi pretty strongly a week ago. I would say that it's not about what we think. I think the coaching staff may not like those picks, even when they're telling him to force it down the field.
And I think the answer is both. Like, I don't believe that the offense that whatever Matt Patricia's calling is saying throw up 50-50 balls, but I do think the offense is saying let's push it down the field. And so it's trying to find the balance between those two things. Get it down the field more, but take care of the ball. And I think you can do both.
All right, Mike, great to have you here today. See you next week.
Appreciate you.
Today's takeaways are coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Rigmarole.
I don't think I can say it.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the sports up.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, it's time for today's takeaways brought to you by Wake When Needed Weight Loss. Every year, there's that new Lose the Weight Fast company that's trying to enter the market, but there's only one that promises to help you keep it off with free support for life. Wake180weightloss.com, 8 locations nearby.
All right, that concludes this broadcast of Zolak and Bertrand. Felger and Maz are coming up next with Greg Picard. The show returns tomorrow. I'm off tomorrow. So enjoy the day with us.
All right, buddy.
Ted Johnson will be in studio
Meathead
tomorrow.
Radio.
Love it. It'll be Ted, Zoe, Hardy, and T-Bone.
A lot of testosterone.
Be in a better mood tomorrow. Right? Bring the mood up tomorrow, right. Not down.
Don't be double down arrow guy tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay.
See you guys later. Milliken, enjoy the final days of your baseball team. Have a great afternoon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's Boston's most listened to afternoon radio program. Felger and Mass.
You need a little bit of fat in there for flavor.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marcus Jones, the rookie to our right inside the 25. Pat O'Donnell fields the snap, puts the nose of the football down, punts it away from his 17. The high kick. sends Jones under it from the 30, runs right to the 40. Marcus across the 45, and he is tackled, thrown forward to midfield.
50.
The Patriots will have great starting field position. And a 24-all tie here in overtime.
Oh, man, you can just you feel, look at the sideline, look at the energy. Now, if you're Bill Belichick, you tell Matt Patricia, let's go here. Let's go. There's nothing more you can ask for. 8:16 in overtime left, 24-all, and you got the ball at midfield, and all you need is three.
Damien Harris in the backfield. First and 10 from the Pats 49. Harris with a run up the middle, and he carries it forward into the pile. Picked up four plus, a good rush to the 47 of Green Bay.
It's pretty bad that you can have a guy jump on a mic here in overtime and say, don't let him land him. It was pretty quiet there. This play should be amped up.
Zappi hands it off to Harris, runs it up the middle, shed a hit in the backfield, and got to the line of scrimmage before he's brought down with the tackle made there by the Packers. Make it a third and five.
Got to throw it.
Four in progress to the 46.
Sitting there last year in Tampa, Mac Jones at the end of that Tampa game, and sort of played it safe. You got house money here. Let this kid throw it.
Stevenson moves up in front of Zappi, and the Patriots call timeout.
I mean, it's a big play right here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.